Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Rahapa podcast, where we're about to talk about episode 3. We're back to Group A with a little bit of a wild card razzle dazzle in the middle. It's all very exciting, and I cannot wait to break it all down with you today. I'm your host, Puya, the chickpea, Zand Vakili. Hope everyone's doing well out there. But as always, before I go into it, I'm never alone. I'm always here with my ride or die, my partner in crime. But I'm not going to introduce them. I'm going to let the men in black come through and announce this one.
Oh. All right, men in black, please unveil the mask.
Marsupial, that's right. It's Liana the Marsupial Boris here today. Liana, how are you doing?
That's a long way to go for an intro gag.
It's the Masked Singer podcast. We don't care. We do extra stuff.
What was the full clip?
The
masterpiece?
The masterpiece.
Is that what it was? Oh, yeah. Why couldn't I be the masterpiece?
Because that's not an item. Like, what? That's not a tangible thing.
I am the masterpiece.
Someone out there could be looking at a whole thing of paintings and say, that's a masterpiece. Or they could be looking at a mountain of pizza and call it a masterpiece. So that's too subjective. I wanted a specific item.
But I think that would be allowed for a costume on The Masked Singer. They've had some weird ideas, right? So I, from henceforth, thou shalt be known as the masterpiece.
No, you're the marsupial. All right. Wow. So let me tell you off the top. First of all, we've been getting a bunch of ratings and reviews since the last episode. And thank you so much, audience, for hooking us up, blessing us up with some reviews. I do appreciate that. If you would like to leave some here, I'll give you the link right away. We are on the road to 100. The aim is to get to 100 ratings if we can. But you can find that over on robinswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MaskedSinger. Okay. Now, Group A was back again, Liana, one more time. This episode we did not watch together. We did not end up watching it live, so we watched it separately. And I got to ask you just your overall thoughts. How did you feel about this episode?
Okay. So my overall thoughts on the episode are that I had fun. I appreciated that Joel McHale was back. I, again, will always sign the petition to add him as a judge. Niecy Nash, I thought, looked absolutely fabulous in that white jumpsuit. It was so gorgeous. It looked like you're not going to get this, but it looked like Elliot with 2T's train runway, but without the train. So like,
without the train. Yeah.
yeah. Mm. And let's see. So what else did I like? The wild card concept I'm interested to talk with you about, because it wasn't, out of all the things that we were debating what would happen, I do feel like this was one of them where it was like, well, they just add them versus like having them face off, for example, against like the contestant in the bottom. Like, how did you feel about the way that they pulled off the wild card?
So it's interesting because to me, this made sense, right? This makes sense that it's not just like, oh, you're going to face the worst person in the group, because then we pretty much know that you have to be subpar to do fine and come in instead of them. I think that, ultimately with regards to the wild card of it all, I like the way they did it because it kind of inserts them in and gives them a fair shake. And it gives everyone a fair, like, listen, you came in, you gave your shot. If you lose, and that's fine. And like, the competitors that were in before them, it's not like, they have a pass. You know, it's not like the circle where they suddenly have immunity now. And now they're not going to be in the ratings. If you can't tell, I've been watching the circle a lot lately. But so it just it felt regular. It felt fine. It felt good.
Mm-hmm. It did feel, I don't know. It felt a little like, okay. Maybe it's just the quality of the performer also that we got here, where I felt like, oh, this person's not a contender to win.
Oh, like the new wild card, you mean?
Yeah, the Orca. So I was like, oh, okay, great. So we get to meet, we miss some, you know, performances that are fine early, and then you come in and give a few fine performances, and then you leave before the end. So like, it's not going to end up changing the ultimate outcome, at least I don't think, by adding this performer. So it just feels like this kind of weird little add-in of, well, we didn't want to have to edit together six performances, so we just held off on someone for a week.
I did not think at any point that we were going to have the one of the wild cards be like a contender to the crown. I still don't. I think there's three. Is there four of them? I'm not sure. What I do feel,
I think four based on the silhouettes.
Okay, there you go. I don't think that the other three are going to be like, oh my God, this person's going to come in and like run for the crown. I genuinely do not. It's not impossible. They might pull an upset and make it that far, but maybe not. I don't think so.
Because I think, okay, so I'm pretty sure we get the lobster based on the silhouette. It's like a lobster next week where we get another wild card.
Yeah. I feel like one of the Cloodle Do snippets last week had a lobster looking claw type thing. So I do think a lobster is likely.
Yeah. Rule of Claw is the name of the episode also. So that really makes me feel like, okay, but then are we going to get any more after that? Or it's like, okay, that's the wild card. I thought there were four. When are the other ones going to show up?
No, they're going to, I think they're going to show up in back-to-back weeks. I think so, like, now Groupie's going to have, let's say, the lobster, and then next week, the next person's going to get inserted, and the week after, the next person's going to get inserted, which actually is pretty smart of them, because it makes it so that it's like, okay, well, no one's getting eliminated for a little bit, but it's still fresh, and it gives us more insight. Yeah, because
we're still going to get people eliminated, but we're still going to get new people to like talk about. Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the figuring out the people of it all.
Right, because I will say, not that I'm 100% really on a lot of these performers, but I think based on some of the judges' guesses and guessing patterns, it feels like they're not giving them my bad.
Ooh, phone. Who is that from?
I just have my caller on because I am on the vaccine wait list and I do not want to miss the call if I get it.
Oh, look at you.
You know, man's trying to get vaccinated. Sorry, Jenny. Don't be upset about that.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Okay. Stupid eliminate, whatever. I'll just have to keep my eye on it. I've silenced it now. All right. So what was I saying?
You're talking about the way that the twist is bringing in new blood and making it fresh.
I think that they're not giving us the judges' guesses like proper. I feel like, for example, you know, we've talked about before, like, Robin would know this. Yeah. But I think more so now. This is two episodes in, and I feel like some of these guesses are way too far-fetched for what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I think that would make sense, especially considering the fact if, for example, let's say someone who was good in this group isn't a shock to anyone, Russian Doll. Let's say next week is, again, the next time they perform, there's another wild card. That means for like 3 weeks straight, they've been in a group of five, and then they're probably going to go to a group of four, then to the super six, then so on. So that's like an extra show or two in the middle where they're singing again and there's more clues. So I think they're going to like delay those guesses as long as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you've already gotten to talk about this. Joel McHale goes without saying, of course, I love him. He was the best part of this episode for me. He's the MVP of the episode for me, genuinely.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm happy that Niecy called him the honorary fifth panelist, because I really do feel that that's where he is, which, yes. Okay, let's just add him. I understand you don't want to pay him, but I want you to pay him.
Is it going to hurt the panel to have five people? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where sort of that deadpan humor is only funny every once in a while. And if it's always there, then you're like, well, why are you always so down on the show? You know,
Well, when we get to the individual performances, we'll get there. But I like, there's something raw about what he says about them that isn't that was so inspiring. That was so fearless to everything. You know, like, he was like, that was horrible. And I love that. I think he can get away with it because everyone's like, it's Joel being Joel. We need that on the panel because everyone else is trying to be nice.
I know. Stop being nice. Who's the Simon here? You know what I mean? Like, we need somebody who's just going to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
Or I guess they're celebrities. Are they going to hurt their feelings?
Well, that's the thing, is that we've talked about how, of course, they're celebrities, so they're never going to be in a position where, you know, you're going to want to diss a celebrity. However, you're also all celebrities. So if anyone should be able to take it on the chin, it's a celebrity from another celebrity.
I don't know. I mean, also clearly there's like a way to do it. Because I feel like the way that Joel does it is it's like it's a dig to the raccoon when the raccoon's no longer there. So it's fine.
All right. So, yeah. But one more thing before we jump in, Liana, they keep making Niecy Nash say, I'm the guest host. Like, I don't like that. Just let her say, I'm your host. She's literally our host for this episode.
I didn't notice it as much this time as I did last week, because I know we talked about this last week. And like, I'm sure you have Nick under contract, but yeah, I wouldn't be upset if she became the permanent host.
I would not be complaining whatsoever. Again, I think that she has this banter with anyone on that panel that works, whereas Ken literally has one gear, and that is, let me make Ken Jeong call me daddy again. And that's it. That's all he does. And I don't like it. And I'm not going to play the clip. Don't worry. I know some people were worried that the clip was going to happen. It didn't happen. So speaking of stuff that happened, you want to pop out of one doll into another and talk about the Russian doll?
I was shocked that the Russian dolls went first again. I don't know why. I was like, is there my conspiracy brain just started running. I was like, is there some reason they have to be first? And then I was like, no, they can edit these together in any order. Like, literally, it doesn't matter. I was thinking like logistical issues of like getting those big old costumes on stage or something. But anyway, I thought it was very interesting because typically they do change up the order. They will put like the best performances usually first and last. So I thought that was interesting. The Russian dolls went first twice in a row. But anyway, okay, so. I feel like it's difficult to talk about the clue package without talking about the fact that now we know for sure there's three of them.
Right. So
like there could only be, I feel like I have a more confident guess now than I did last week. Last week I was like pairs of siblings, but now we know there's three. That really helps to narrow it down. And I feel like even with the clues, it was the three planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, no other planets, no four planets, no five planets. Three planets.
Yeah, but to play devil's advocate on this a little bit, so I didn't mind that they went first, because I feel like adding a third person was kind of their way of saying it's you're seeing them again for the first time, so it's not the same people. And let's be honest, they are a great opener to the show. So immediately I was loving the vibe, especially if you look at who came in after, who performed second. Oh, yeah, it was the raccoon. So I think it was kind of like, let's prepare them before we drop them into free fall mode. So
that was so bad.
Yeah, it was horrendous, but we'll get there. So and then I think so based on the clue. Yeah, I think three is solidifying. However, I'm not completely out on there being more. I know they joked about a fourth and like it came up like, oh, we have a fourth member. Like, that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. There could be more than three. I'm not fully convinced and sold, but three seems like a good number to stop at. I feel like if they went from having the Snow Owls as a duo to like five members, that's too much. Like, you gotta like build up to five.
So here's the thing, right? Okay. The question is do all performers of a duo, because we are now starting to branch into the world of multiples on the show, right? Two people, three people, whatever. Do all people have to be performing at all times? Because, and let me tell you why, I think based on the volume of the costumes, there's no way there's a fourth person inside those costumes based on the two performances that we've seen. I think what happened last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess, is that there were two of them in the big one of them in the small one. Then this week, I think there were three of them all in their individual little.
So that's the thing, though, is that it was weird having three of them with feet. Like, where's the one without the feet?
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is I think they have different costumes that they like switch in and out of, but they still all three of them have to be on stage at the same time. So like maybe one day what we're going to see is literally the biggest Russian doll, but like all three of them are inside or something like that.
I think what's more likely to happen now that you're saying this is that that they could have the fourth one on stage as well. But then, you know, people might think, oh, there's a fourth, but it's just the three of them singing and people are none the wiser. I think that's also a possibility.
Like a fourth thing, like a fourth Russian nesting doll that just doesn't move.
Like the big one. They bring the big one on stage, but then the other three are roaming around in their little outfits.
But someone has to be pulling its mouth. And then that's cheating, because then that's a fourth person that's like not a singer, but it's just like pulling the mouth. I feel like that's cheating.
I forgot about the mouth pulling.
Okay. I mean, otherwise it would just stand there. But then it's like, well, it's just standing there and it's not moving and its mouth's not moving.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, let's dive into the clue. You like mentioned the clue package in passing. Do you want to talk about the clue package?
Okay. So the major thing that I took away from this was the whole like medical emergency of it all. Like one of them got injured and then didn't know if they were going to be the same, but then they recovered and now they're all better. The other big thing that I took away from this clue package was the M jacket, like the Letterman jacket with like a big M on it. And then the other thing that was interesting was the blocks that spelled out the word help, but the E was sideways.
Why is that interesting?
Because it seems very like it's a very specific thing.
Well, it wasn't backwards. So M&M is out of contention for the guesses.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I wrote down three planets, the banjo I wrote down, the help spelled out. I did the nesting doll MRI thing. I think the accident is a big part of it. Whether that's caused a hiatus in whatever group this is, potentially, that's a thing we can look at. Help being spelled out didn't do much for me. I couldn't think of anything with the word.
But like, what do you think it would mean that the E was like tilted sideways? Like sideways E, sideways.
Could be curvy.
Curvy.
Yeah, right? Because it's an E, curved, curvy.
Curvy.
I don't think that means curve, anything.
Curvy, curved E. Sideways yeah. E, curved, curvy.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Oh, okay. No. The only thing I will say, okay, well, we'll get to this at the end. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. Anyway, it seems like something that was like purposefully done. You know what I mean? So I feel like it must mean something.
How many people are in the group fun?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know, but I just want to use this moment to say that I don't like fun. All right, let's move on.
I think there's only two of them.
Okay.
Oh wait, no, there's three of them, but this is definitely not their voice. Like the
no, this has, isn't. Like, I just distinct. Yeah, I know there's three. I just wanted to say that just to knock them down one. So
okay, do you feel better?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I hate. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Why do you hate fun?
This is generic, overplayed. Like, if I hear tonight overplayed. We are young, like, so let's set the world on fire. It's so genetic, generic. Like, we're young. We're gonna do all the things. We're energetic. Stop it. And then we're gonna be on the radio for 3 years. All right. Enough.
Well, I'm gonna blare fun later in the house.
I beg you.
I have to take a shower later. What music should I listen to? Okay.
You've been listening to Mike Posner for like the last 3 days. So just keep on your Posner.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's, I'm not like,
what?
I'm right. Functioning. I like Mike Posner. Okay.
Posner?
Do you waited for me to say that 14 times before you corrected me?
Well, no, now I'm questioning it. I don't know. I don't know.
I always said Posner, but I feel like someone's corrected me to Posner.
All right. Well, anyway, that guy, the guy that got bit by a rattlesnake when he walked across America.
Let me hear it through Google.
Okay.
It's Posner.
Okay.
I said Posner.
What did you say?
I said okay. Mike Posner.
Okay, all right.
I didn't say Mike Posner.
You didn't? Oh, okay.
It's taking every part right, of me not is, to do the Mike, whole segment just to do it correctly now.
Is Mike Posner on the show? No. Let's move on. Russian Dolls. Let's go. Shawn Mendes.
I'm cringing inside. So the performance was great. I loved it a lot. I really did. This is a big change for me from the Snow Owls and my lack of like for the Snow Owls. And their costume and the lack of mobility. They can clearly, all three of them move. There's a new costume. I think this is perfect. I thought the Snow Owls needed a costume that could be mobile. They did not have one. Unfortunate for them. They didn't win. I think that Russian Dolls are a very strong group.
I thought that their vocals were phenomenal. I thought the background with the fireworks and everything was great. I thought every part of this performance made sense. They're definitely a group that can also do more razzle dazzle if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And they clearly have the vocals. So this was a great way to start the episode for me.
Yeah. So, okay. I have something that is an observation that I made that I think is super interesting. So part of our issue with the snow owls was the fact that it's like, well, they can't move. And so like, that's the reason why they're lacking in razzle dazzle, but these guys can move, but there's like, they're just like, they're blank faces, right? We don't really get, we don't see a whole lot of their body movement apart from the fact they can move around stage. Like, does that make sense? Like the subtle movement versus sort of like the macro movement of being able to like walk around stage.
Yes.
Like the snow owls, we can see their heads turn and we can see their like their gestures.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So like they can only move legs pretty much, but the snow owls could move face and shoulders and hands.
Yeah, face, shoulder, mm-hmm. everything like upper body up.
That's a good question. So be but, like put no, on our but, senses.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that I think my argument, and I again, like it's hard to take the singing out of it because it is literally a singing competition. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that they can physically move around the stage is more compelling than being able to see the snow owls like tilt their heads.
Yeah, 15 billion%. I agree yes. with you there.
And they genuinely. Can interact. They can like move around with one another. I think because it's just it's a huge stage, right? Yeah. This isn't some like beatnik poetry session in a tiny cafe. Like I mean, don't care. It's not up close. It's like this big performance. I want them to move around. Also, the fact that they harmonize well. I think they're all great singers. The way that the performance was shot with the like spinny thing, super cool.
Yeah,
I love this.
I think that ultimately, you know, you think about the astronaut and how the astronaut really didn't have much movement. And then when mm-hmm. the astronaut started just like, oh, I'm going to take 4 steps down and like touch the hand of a person in the audience. And that was compelling.
And the rhino also.
Yes. Very, you know what? Yeah. I was thinking about the rhino, actually. Not yeah. The astronaut. The astronaut yeah, did a little bit more.
Yeah, Hunter Hayes did a little bit more. But yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's actually good. Like, you know, we've talked about razzle dazzle versus vocals. I think this is another good question, but I think we're both on the right side here because I think that that is a more compelling. You can do a lot more with just running around than you can with just like there's only especially when the background has fireworks and moving objects and stuff and you're there like just moving your neck sideways like you're in Night of the Roxbury, like that's not yeah. enough. It really isn't. Yeah. So yeah, I think yeah. that whoever these three are, five pending, whoever these three are, I think that it's very clear they've been together for a long time or they performed together exclusively or something, because the way all of their voices connected, it was like when you use three phones to connect to the same speaker mm-hmm. and like you want to amplify it, it just the sync was there. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like, all right. So I think based on all of the evidence, the fact that there's three of them and the fact that their voices go together so well, I go back to my list of brothers and bands, the article that I pulled last 2 weeks ago, I guess, 43 brothers and bands. And I'm going back and I'm looking at the groups of three. This isn't the Jonas Brothers for multiple reasons. I feel like this has to be Hanson. And the fact that a lot of the other clues I can start to then go and connect back makes me feel more confident in that guess as well. So the M jacket, bop. The colors in their self-portrait, the colors really pop because it's bop.
See, that like I was willing to run with you and believe you because I don't really know Hanson, but when you're linking everything to something called bop, that gives me pause.
It's bop. It's their one like major hit of what they're like best known for.
So
it's mbop,
the M jacket makes sense to what you're saying. What is the second clue that you've linked to
pop.
It?
So it was the self-portrait clue where it was like the colors really pop like we do. Pop. Mbop.
No, that's like at best you can say pop music. Like that's as far as that goes.
Mbop. You know their classic hit mbop. Okay, well anyway, that's a look, put that aside because let me get into the real deal. The youngest one was involved in a motorcycle accident which resulted in 5 broken bones, 3 broken ribs, a broken clavicle, a cracked scapula.
Jeez.
Accident. And it's like cracked, right? Which specifically the clue in the package said cracked hard. Cracked hard. Also, the three planets at the beginning, the Mercury, Venus, Earth, Hansen either, where did I read it? Was signed or is signed? No, they were signed to Mercury Records. Okay. Mercury, planets, pop. The only one I can't figure out is the like E sideways kind of thing.
Can I be honest with you? I think you're the only person on this earth, and I don't mean the planets in the clue package, that believes that sideways E has anything to do with anything. I think they just aesthetically put it there. That's it.
Help. It's like, I don't know. It means something. Anyway.
Oh, are the letters of their name starting with H, L, and P?
No, because one of them's name is Zach.
Well, that's useless.
Also, they're the ones that have the kids that add up to 15, which is what the Cloodle do.
Oh, was. You know it what? Was that was a God. Okay, so that now you have me in your corner. Now I'm with you, because up until this point, I was like, it could be whatever. But the freaking Cloodle doodle do clues are too OP. They're too overpowered. I don't like
it. They really are. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Pop. Okay. The other thing too about the Russian dolls is actually not about them, just about Hansen, because I was like super ready to get my fangirl on. They're like a little problematic. So I know, right? So apparently they didn't speak out about Black Lives Matter, and after criticism eventually released a statement. But then Zach, the one who got in the motorcycle accident, his Pinterest account got leaked, which contained a trove of pro-gun memes, many of which were racist, transphobic, homophobic, and sexist. Also, they did a bunch of in-person concerts in Oklahoma during the pandemic, despite the ICU beds being full in Tulsa at the time, which is where they did the concert. So... devastating.
Oof. Well, is it too late to say that I hope it's fun?
Oh my God.
I may have a change of heart with regards to fun now.
I mean, like, that's the thing. This is the problem when it's like, look, of course they're good singers. I'm never going to say that they're not great singers. They clearly harmonize well. I'm like, enjoy their performances, but like, I'm not going to go out of my way to support them. I'm not going to like go download all their music and listen to it on Spotify. Just like, that's not something, a feeling that I would like to support. So that's just like my personal preference. But anyway, I wanted to bring it up because it was news to me.
Rob, it was one Rob Sesternino who said at the premiere episode of the season one, three recap that we did with him, he said, and he floated the idea of, what about people that would end up coming onto the show to get a brand reimaging, right? So, and we've had a couple since then that I feel like have like had, you know, major problematic, you know, behavior or statements.
Yeah. And I mean, we literally have, wait, who is it this season that their clue package is like, I used to be blah, 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 and now I'm not. Like, even the raccoon's clue package, I think from 2 weeks ago, was like, I was in jail and now I'm here.
Well, like I feel like every single Mass Singer clue package is, I used to be down in the dumps and the worst, and now I'm revitalized, and now I'm coming out of my cocoon. Yeah. And like,
I'm excited for the Mass Singer package that's like, I've always been on top of the world. And yeah, here I am.
I'm trash. Somehow. And I always will be. Like, just like, you know, like the same person through and through. No, everyone's gone through some metamorphosis on the Mass Singer for sure.
And not just the butterfly. Cha-ching!
I don't have a drum sound drop, but I would have used it. Actually, you know what I might do? Anyways, that's not the point of all this. The point of all this is that we liked the Russian nesting doll starting the show. And the more we talked about it, maybe we didn't like them all that much. Anyways, speaking of performers that, you know, should have in their clue package that they were trash and they always will be. Here comes the raccoon for a second performance. Yeah,
but not just because it's a raccoon costume.
No, literally not. They did the man dirty.
Literally wrote like, God, this is awful in my notes. It was horrible. I still think Mickey Rourke was worse, but the fact that Joel McHale was there laughing at the performance the whole time, that's what really got me through it. Like, he was there and he also genuinely couldn't believe what was happening.
It was very, very much like a dumpster fire. I couldn't turn my eyes away from.
Oh, I could.
I did not. I definitely, this is, I can't believe, because you know what? This whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, we had Kermit the Frog on the show and Kermit is not here anymore because of this. Why?
I mean, I remember 2 weeks ago thinking like the only bad part of this is that I have to hear the raccoon one more time. I'm thankful that I've persevered. I've made it through the experience.
We've moved on.
I wouldn't really call it singing.
No,
but you know, it was a thing that happened.
No, I call it when you eat a Popeye's biscuit and you don't have a drink next to you. It's kind of like the vibe I get. It was. Here's the thing. I love the person behind the mask, right? I've seen them in many movies, so that was great. Mm-hmm. However, this performance was god awful. So let's talk about the clue package. You know, big stages, there's coffee beans, Uncle taught me to box. Then they retired to train and they became like the Hollywood leading man trainer. And then they were the leading man. And obviously all of this mixed in with the with whatever the sharp tool clue last week. Like we figured out who this was, I think. After you put all that together, it's like, okay, it's Danny. So there you go. Not DeVito, yeah. Like they thought on the panel.
I still don't understand that. Like, how can you look at, and I get it. I get that he is not super, super tall, but Danny DeVito is very short.
Stilts.
There, no, the way that okay. Here's the thing though, with stilts though, is that stilts don't have knees. So the fact that his knees are bending where they are means maybe it can't be stilts.
It could be like futuristic stilts. We don't know that.
That bend?
Yes.
Yeah, but then there's got to be some mechanism to make them bend back. Also, then the weight distribution would be, I don't even know what that would look like. Yeah, the force diagrams.
The height difference between the two Dannys is 4'10 to 5'6.
Yeah.
So it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, so that's why I didn't. That guess was horrible.
Is it the gutsiest decision to know that you're probably vocally not great to go with a Johnny Cash song? Or was this a good song choice for the raccoon?
I feel like something more gritty, more hard rock, like, I don't know, like AC/DC or something like that, I feel like would go more with what the raccoon is bringing to the table. I mean, I think part of it was like missing cues and that kind of thing as well. I don't know. It was just it was a mess.
I mean, here's the thing. It's not lost on me that the raccoon really tried to stay on the show by going the full, like, I'm in love with Jenny McCarthy. Let me make this about her, a la the thingamajig and Nicole a couple seasons ago. So I definitely felt like, oh, you're leaning on the comedic side to maybe stay in another round. Here's the thing. If you make me appreciate the white tiger, I hate you. And I appreciated the white tiger after this. I did.
Oh my gosh. I think for me, it was just, I can appreciate the excitement. I can appreciate the energy. I am happy that you are going to come to the Masked Singer and have passion, right? There's nothing frustrating than having someone come and just want to leave so bad that they're just going to unmask themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So I applaud Danny for doing that and for being here. However, from a consumer of the music part of the show, it was a little painful.
Yeah, I mean, especially post unmasking, the way everything went down and the way Danny spoke about everything, it is very clear he wanted to do the show and he was so happy that he got to do the show. And I loved every bit of that. And I love that. So I'm never going to be sitting here talking smack about it whatsoever. But I also recognize that, you know, I've talked about how the Masked Singer doesn't necessarily have to be all trained singers. That would be kind of dull. So I like that it gave us a sharp down from the big up that we got to start the episode, right? Things go up, things go down. That's the Masked Singer! So
definitely a contrast.
Yeah.
Big time.
Let me, can I speak about the good parts of the performance though?
Sure, of course.
Okay. I really like the saloon theme they put together.
And okay.
I like that there was a vibe in the background, and I liked how saloony it looked. It looked very realistic.
It did. It really did. Yeah. Can I talk about the parts that I liked from the podcast or from the performance?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm done.
you really came in with this energy.
Well, I was speechless, much like the raccoon was during the song.
Oh my God. I'm telling you though, the comment that he made when the Robopine performed that Joel said that was like, well, it's no raccoon.
I mean, you're no raccoon.
Yeah, exactly. That got me. That was my favorite comment of the whole night. I literally laughed out loud.
That's the reason I whipped out the soundboard from the dust, because I hadn't been using it in a while. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to add.
I mean, you're no raccoon.
Like, so good. So backhanded. So phenomenal.
Oh, that's so funny. And I would love it even more if the Robopine had like no idea what he was talking about, because if they weren't able to see each other. I mean, sometimes we do know they see each other's performances, but because of COVID, I don't know. Anyway, funny.
So the guesses happen. And the guesses are Tony Danza, Sylvester Stallone, John Voight, who I found out is Angelina Jolie's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the three. Oh, and Danny DeVito, obviously. Yeah. This is where I was like, you can't be serious with any.
Isn't John Voight like a million feet tall anyway? So I was like, well, it can't be him. Danny DeVito's too short. Who are the other guesses? Actual good singers? Those were wrong.
Tony Danza. How tall is Tony Danza?
It doesn't matter because Tony Danza is actually a good singer.
John Voight is 6'2". They genuinely thought this could be him?
That's what I'm saying. I knew he was tall.
This is some trolling from the judges. Seriously. All right. Where's Sly Stallone's height? I'm just like checking everyone's heights today. Height check. 5'10". Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Anyways. So... that's it. We'll move on. We'll come back to the unmasking later. Yeah, spoiler alert. The raccoon's gone. I don't know if that was made clear, but he gone. All right. So then we go to the Robopine once again. And I was very, 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 very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Robopine's clue package, I'm not going to lie, I didn't get like a lot out of. It did lead me to the path that I have been heading into, and I feel very much comfortable about who this could be potentially. But they talked about how life took him on a different route. To me, I interpreted this as someone who like went from one career to another career, potentially, if that makes sense. So, for example, I would argue someone like The Rock, life took him on a different route, went from being a wrestler to being a, you know, TV, movie, entertainer, celebrity. In that kind of realm. So that's a thing. There was the cop like things, like the cop car stuff. The phrase cat and mouse is evident. There was a throne, which the throne threw me off. I don't know what the throne is. True superheroes, flower and roses. And then the painting that was put out there. It was like the portrait of the Robopine with like a guitar and then a like spider type thing on
it. Yeah, the spider web and then the spider like on the shirt or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these were all, did these give you anything before I start digging into them a little more?
No, the thing that was interesting, and I know that we talked about this last week, was the whole concept of, do we actually think he's 60 years old?
I do not, but yes.
I don't, based on one, the voice, but also the fact that around 60 years ago, I did this thing, which like, okay, so if you're 60, but around 60 years ago, you did this thing, you would be zero, which what? I am not seeing no newborn baby running around working on the streets. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So come on. There's got to be something with the number 60, but this person is not 60 years old.
Yeah,
I would put money on it.
I will also put money on it. We're going to be on the same place.
I know, but then who's going to pay us for being right?
I don't know. We'll find someone. Hey, if you want to take this wager at us, we'll give you good odds. We'll give you good odds.
Yeah, good odds. Good odds.
Yeah. So I think that if I may, and I will give permission to anyone if you're trying to like skip ahead so that you don't figure out who this is based on what I'm saying, because I feel relatively confident, I would say skip 2 minutes. Okay. So that's like 4 clicks, 30 seconds each. Boom, you're there. Okay. All right, cool. Our turn. So I click, think. Click, click, click. Clank, clank, clank. Okay. I think, Liana, I feel relatively decent that this could be Tyrese Gibson.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if we talked about this last week or not, that sounds right.
Yeah, I don't remember because I remember telling it to you in passing at the very least that it could be him. I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast, but let's talk about why I think that it could be him. First of all, last week I listened to a tune by him and the voices matched and it took me back and I definitely spent a lot of time listening to his music for a while. But you know, the whole like the different route thing, you know, he was a musician and then he's now, you know, part of this big franchise, the Fast and Furious franchise, which, you know, Cops, Game of Cat and Mouse, like that is all that all screams Fast and Furious to me. The Flowers and Roses, I think, could be like a nod to like R&B music. Potentially. And then the painting. So the painting, you know, talks about how there's a spider phobia of sorts. Tyrese is, you know, he's linked to a Spider-Man movie. So that to me. Yeah. And he plays a character that like debuted in a comic or a series called Fear in that. So that kind of makes sense. That kind of adds up to me. So that's why I feel confident. And then on top of that, the voice matches, the vocals do match. So
yeah. I mean, the roses, I assume, are a nod to his album Black Rose.
Yes.
They were dark also. I they didn't look black, but they look like super dark red. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It felt like that just fits. But yeah, I would probably agree with you. The thing is that I don't have anybody else that pops into my mind. So it's easy to just be like, yeah, for sure. And I think it's hard when also the clues match. You're just like, well, then obviously it has to be this person. So right. I don't know. We'll see. But
I mean, I like for it. Me. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I like it.
Yeah, because for me, the reason I don't feel super like like I'm not going all in is because of the fact that a lot of the link to me is mostly Fast and Furious themed with a little pinch of this and that of like, okay, this is a nod to his music. Oh, the storyline of like shifting life, taking a different turn. That could be anything, but I'm choosing to make it about careers. So it's very subjective at parts, which is, you know, I want to make sure that is emphasized. Now, as far as the song itself goes, the performance on the night goes, I love this song. All of Me by John Legend. I love it. It's a very hard song to do. And I thought that the Robopine did very good at it. It was a decent job. I think that it didn't, you know, we've had people do song. We've had like the Rottweiler do a live by Sia and make it better. And my opinion. And we've had people do songs that emulate the essence of the originator. This did not do that. I thought this was definitely worse than the original. However, I knew he was going to stay, so I was completely fine with it. And it showed a different side to the Robopine for me.
So I'm happy that you bring that up because I had the same feeling. I had the same feeling with the Seashell as well, which we'll talk about in a bit. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do a song that is that difficult to sing and is that memorable, and it's memorable because of its vocals specifically, I think you really have to knock it out of the park, or you have to put some new interesting twist on it. I don't necessarily think that the Robopine did that here. However, that being said, I really did enjoy the song. And this was the moment where I was like, oh yeah, this is for sure 100% a singer.
Yes. Yes. I love that we're on the same page here, because in listening to the music, especially the last week, the last performance of the Robopine, I thought was top notch. This was definitely a big drop from that, but you have to, we've argued that we want to see range. I think seeing range is good because it shows that you have multiple sides to you. And this was, if you're picking a week to do something risky like this, where you could potentially do a, like, not the best job at it, this was perfect because you had the buffer in the raccoon in the middle to make sure that you're fine regardless. And I still think that it wasn't the fourth worst. Like, it wasn't fourth place in the performances on the night, even. I think it was second or third anyways. So,
yeah, I would say that as well. I think it was probably the second, I think, for me.
Yeah, let's go ahead real quick and just think about all of them. I think Russian Doll would be first for me, potentially. It's between Russian Doll and Seashell, actually.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
No. Seashell might be third. So between Seashell and Robopine in second and third, right? Are we on the same page there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. I would put Robopine second.
Yeah.
Obviously, ranking is arbitrary and reductive. Why would one do such a thing? But if I like were them to do the exercise,
I cheer list all the time. I'm all about them.
Bin them. Oh, my God. Bin the wreck.
Venom. I mean, no offense to the raccoon, but musically speaking, you're in the bin. You are in the bin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what else is there left to be said about the Robopine? For me, nothing. Do you have anything else about the performance?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, I'm happy the Robopine's still here. Obviously, it would have been devastated if anybody else with the raccoon had gone. So looking forward to what the Robopine will be pulling out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. And in the words of Joel, once again,
I mean, you know, raccoon.
So that's the highest of praise right there. It's actually a very middle praise, but it's cool. I want to quickly talk about the guesses. So Jason Derulo is a pretty decent guess, in my opinion. Because
if Jason Derulo was on this show, you would know in 2 seconds. I would immediately know that it's Jason Derulo.
We would hit it out the park. We're big Jason Derulo family here.
Yeah.
So that would have been easy. But I like the pick because that is if I'm in the dark, I will take that pick. But
sure.
I don't think in any world am I thinking Eddie Murphy or Wesley Snipes.
This is one of the reasons why I really like Niecy Nash, is because I feel like Nick would do the kind of thing where he like would shut Ken down. But I like the way that Niecy does it better.
Yeah. And I think for me, Nick will only shut down Ken, whereas I feel like Niecy is not afraid to dish it at anybody. So I do appreciate that from her. Now, did you want to go to the seashore?
Do I have to sell anything?
No, but you can pick up stuff.
Okay. Because she sells seashells by the seashore.
Oh my God. And you didn't even do it right. She sells seashells by the seashore.
By the seashore. That's what I said. She sells seashells by the seashore. Oh, golly gee, mister. She sells seashells by the seashore.
Okay, who's listening to this?
No one. I hope. Dear God.
If you've made it this far into the podcast and you just heard that, can you with seashell. Just at her with seashell. At me too. At both of us. I want to get to Vitaly. All right, Liana, take it away. Talk about the seashell. By the seashore.
Okay, so here's the thing. I had a hard time focusing on the seashell's clues because the intro part was Marcel the Shell. And then, I can't remember who brought it up. Like, one of the panelists brought it up later. But I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I wanted to go back and rewatch all of those. And then I said, no, Liana, you have to keep watching the episode because you have to podcast about that later. And so I was very distracted. Okay. Once I got over that, which, by the way, if you haven't seen those videos, they're super cute and super funny. And it's the woman who plays Money, Please. She's super smart, super funny. What's her name?
Yeah, Amy Jenny Smart. Slate? Or something.
Jenny Slate. Yeah. Anyway, super funny.
She does Money, Please.
Money. You don't
know. I mean, you nailed it for me. That's the only way I would have known who you're talking about.
From Parks and Rec. Money, please. Okay.
Money, please.
Okay. That being said. Him. All right. So it's been a long time since she's been on a stage. Okay, unclear what stage, but been a long time since she's been on a stage. There were a lot of animals in her clue package. So there was like that labradoodle and then the cat that she was being, I guess, in a foot race with. The main thing that I took away from this, it was like super concrete, was that I think she is either she's with somebody who was a jock baseball player. That's like the biggest thing I took away from this.
That was a great. That's a great thing to look at, potentially, just because of the fact that I do think it was a big feature of the clue package. And I can't see what else that could mean unless it's like I was like in a movie, they were with a baseball player. Then that's different.
No, because I think the way that they talked about it, the Seashell talked about it, was very much like, and this is the person that helped me grow and come out of my shell, you know. So yeah. It wasn't so much, oh, I was in this movie with this person. It felt like this is my long term companion.
Right. So there was a lot of, like, for the majority of the clue package, the Seashell is very small, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids small. So,
yes. Oh, I wrote that down too. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Do you think it means something?
I mean, I outside of the dad, I don't really know anyone from the movies. I don't think. I also not watched the movie since like 19 something. Do you know anyone from that cast? And if they're like anyone here potentially?
Oh, like someone from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah, because I couldn't help but feel like that was an entire ode to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids almost.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, IMDb. All right, let's check it out and see what we got.
All right, I'm starting to think no. I'm looking at it. I don't think so.
It's a lot of white people.
Yeah, that's right, Liana. Good observation.
Let's see. Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm okay with not thinking much about them and moving on from,
okay,
from the kids, well, the honey, the shrinking.
The animals to me was like a big part of this, because my guess from last week was Lark Voorhees, the woman who played Lisa Turtle on Saved by the Bell.
Don't go back to this.
Okay, but like, here's the thing, though. Animals, turtle, dogs, cats, cactus, turtles, cactus.
There was one, like,
there were two animals. There was a dog and there was a cat. Cats, dogs, turtles. They're all go together.
And then link them to your guest, please.
Lisa Turtle, turtles, animals, pets.
do you like being a nuisance?
Professional nuisancer. That's me. I don't know. I want to believe that it's true because I felt so good about it last week. But the more I think, the less I think that's true. Like, all of the partners that she was with, none of them played baseball.
Can you like give me an age range you think the Seashell is? Because let me be upfront with you. I have no idea who it is. Zero. Zero.
I don't know. I was thinking it's someone who's been off the stage for a long time. So that means that they can't be, okay, what does a long time mean? Is a long time 10 years, 5 years, 2 years? You know what I mean? So I was thinking somebody a little bit older. Not in their 20s, maybe like late 30s, early 40s was what I was originally thinking. But I don't know. It's not someone in their like 60s or 70s. I don't think for sure. Right. So I would say like late 30s, early 40s. And that's why Lark kind of fits that. She's 46 years old. That means a little bit, you know, not early 40s, but like, yeah, this is the 40s.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think? You saying you have no idea?
No, I think it's someone in the 30 to 45 ish range, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in the same. Yeah. We're in the same.
Yeah.
Area.
We're in the same boat. Yeah. That was because of your Voorhees guess that you're sticking to.
Oh.
I mean, it's no offense. No offense. I just don't think that's the direction.
Okay. Well, then, do you have a better guess for me, Mr. Expert Man Guesser?
So there's two bagels. Yeah. You saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two bagels.
Mr. Bagel Expert. Break it down.
They were like, what were they? Were like poppy seed, were they? Let me look.
Oh my god, no.
Why?
Be like, well, based on my expertise, a bagel is a poppy seed bagel, obviously indicates that so and so.
You are, is that supposed to, like, that's an imitation of me making an imitation of you because you're the, well, technically, if you look at the numbers, it doesn't really make sense. I'm Liana.
Technically, yeah.
Stop it, please.
Stop it, please.
Two bagels, right? It could be like a part of a duo of something, right? That's possible.
There was the number two on the stopwatch.
Yeah. The 2 minutes is a thing. Or
only got two minutes to 2 minutes.
So that's a thing that could be going on. There was that cat that was like looking to pounce.
Animal.
And like, again, why were they all, why was the seashell tiny the whole time?
That I know, but then you can say like, see, like that's the problem is that the Masked Singer isn't always, it doesn't matter, you know, like why last week was, or 2 weeks ago, why was the seashell in, wasn't it all like cowboy hat stuff or something?
Yeah, no, that's true. And then it wasn't the seahorse in like a cowboy saloon type thing, and it wasn't like country
thematic. Yeah.
Remember, anyway. I was the one who said this isn't country.
Okay. Good job, me. Points to you. Fine. Anyway, can we talk about the performance now?
Cactus Heart. I don't know, dude. I'm lost. Yeah, let's talk about the performance. So you got yourselves a pirate themed motif.
Yarg.
Arg. A pirate seashell singing "Confident" by Demi Lovato, which I knew instantly the minute the song, like the background starts. So I was like, oh, go with me. I know the song very well. Ultimately, with regards to the dancers, I didn't quite like the Jack Sparrow hat and wig they had. It didn't do much for me, but I loved the treasure chests on either side. And I did love the big pirate ship in the background. I thought that worked phenomenally with the smoky flooring as well. Ultimately, from an aesthetic perspective, they nailed it. From a performance perspective, it was good. I liked it. But I also recognize that this wasn't like the best, which I think now, in thinking about it more and talking about these one by one, I might co-sign what you said about not understanding why we started with the Russian dolls, because I think we started peak and then we kind of started like not hitting peak again.
Right. So I love this song very, very much.
Samesies.
And I thought that the seashell did a good job. I thought that she nailed a lot of the notes, especially that last note. I thought it was really fabulous. However, like I said, with the Robopine, when you have a song that is so iconic and is especially known for powerhouse vocals, when you don't live up to that, it's a little disappointing. You know what I mean? And the thing is like she hit the powerhouse vocals like when she needed to, but there were bits in the middle of the song that just fell a little flat. There were some breath control issues. Again, not that I can do it. Okay. Like, who am I? Blah, blah, blah. But that's what I noticed. And so while I really enjoyed it, I think she's a good performer. I think she'll make it. I don't think she's going to win, but I think she'll make it deep. It was enjoyable.
I think that the seashell is in the bubble. So I think the seashell, if everything stays the way it is probably in the Super Six. However, if the next wild card is going to blow my socks off, then maybe the seashell gets upset. It's possible. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It's in the bubble again. Yeah.
I think also because, let's see, I'm just trying to think from Group B. So like the Russian dolls, I think, are going to make it deep. I think Robopine will make it deep. Black Swan will make it deep.
Why am I not remembering any of the performers?
Was the Piglet good?
Piglet's phenomenal. Piglet's going to go far. Okay,
so Piglet will make it deep.
Who else? There was one more in that group that I think is going to go deep.
Well, the Chameleon.
No, the Chameleon's not going to go that far at all.
Okay, well, it's not the Phoenix, and I don't think it's Grandpa Monster.
And it's not, yeah. So there's two strong ones. You know what? Whoever the wild card is next week, like, if you were the wild card, this was the group you wanted to come into. Or that other group actually is not looking that bad. I think whoever's the wild card there could have a shot at being in the Super Six, actually.
Well, that's obviously, if you're a wild card, you want to come in against a Raccoon.
No, to like survive one round, yes, but
yeah. But like ultimately long term, right. You mean? Like,
I would argue that the wild card from Group A is going to have a very interesting game to play in this next round, because I do think that one has a harder road. Whereas if you look at the other group, Grandpa Monster and Chameleon are there. So I think that if you are a singer, you could probably get past the two of them and make it into the Super Six.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Man, Masked Singer really came in with a new immersion strategy this year.
Well, I don't. Do you think they get a say over whether or not they want to be a wild card or they want to compete regularsies?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think there's ones that they were like, you have to be part of the main roster. And then they kind of picked and choose who they were going to put. If I have an assumption, I think that all four wild cards are semi-decent. They're not like amazing, but they're also not the weaker ones, right? So it's got to be like the middling people.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, anyway, that's like big picture stuff. To get back to the seashell, I think probably this solidified for me that she's known for something other than singing. I think she's a great singer, but her success has come from probably like acting or something like that.
Right. Right. I'm curious about the seashell because I can't decide whether or not I think the seashell has given us their best or if they have better. I feel like they might have better and we've not heard it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, I think it's about song choice, right? And that's the thing is that she could pick a different song that isn't known so much for the powerhouse vocals, kills it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's all comparison.
Yeah. They've worn many hats. They've worn many hats as far as the painting went. Microphone, book, dumbbell, mixed dish. That's a lot of things it could be. Like, it's so vague. So I don't know.
Right.
Nothing's helping me. I don't think it's Ashley Simpson. I don't think it's Haley Duff. Jenny Slate did come up with Ken Jeong, but then Ken Jeong said it. So I'm like, no, we'll move on. So for me, it's like the seashell is going to have a new performance next time because I'm very much in the dark right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. I'm excited to see more from her and I'm happy that she's still here.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's plant our flags into the next performance and talk about. Oh, wait. It's not Okra. It's the orca. Here comes the whale. That is the orca. New wild card in the scene. I mean, Liana, can you walk me through how you felt about seeing the orca come in as part of the regular roster?
Sorry, I'm confused about the okra flag joke. Yeah, can we unpack that?
An okra is a plant.
Yeah.
So I said
plant. Oh, you plant a flag.
Right. And then I was like, and then I did this thing where like, I was like, oh, shock. Wait, it's not okra. It's orca. Whoa. And then I
said, okay. All right. Gotcha.
I did a good job, Liana.
I know you did a good job.
No, you're yada yada-ing it.
All right. Well, we'll look. Okay. Anyway. All right. So first of all, I need to talk about the costume because this seemed excessively cheap to me. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the material that it was made out of. I don't know if it just felt like they had like shoved an inflatable pool toy on top of these contestants' head. I don't know. I like really don't understand why it felt so cheap to me, especially because the Masked Singer typically has these very ornate, detailed, like expensive looking costumes. Opulence, you know what I mean? And then this was just, this felt like that fabric from Good Burger. When it's like that waxy, like fabric, you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? Is that a thing?
So for me, this was not like it definitely looks more budget than the other costumes, especially the more recent costumes we've seen. I would agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad though. Like thought it was interesting that they had the whole whale, but then it's like, the only part of the whale that's on the singer is the head has like a little slip on. It's because the rest of the outfit doesn't look like expensive.
Yeah, maybe. Like there's not a lot of detail to it. Like it felt like it was thrown together last minute.
Yes, I definitely do get that vibe. I will say they did not give us a cloodle-doo clue at the start of the entrance of the orca.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention. I missed that. So we didn't get one.
Right. We didn't get one at all for the cloodle do of like, oh, the orca does blah. That wasn't there.
Interesting.
But I would be very curious to hear about your clue package thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So once I got over, it was so cheap. So we got the clue package and there was this whole story about, let me tell you how I made it big. They were, I guess, working at a pizza place, but then there was also lemon, orange, and pumpkin pizza, and the orca's pie hole. Mm-hmm. That was a choice. But anyway, so they were 24 years old, closer to being a punchline than a big star. And then they put their audition tape in a bunch of pizzas and delivered them, I guess. And then that was when they blew up. That was sort of the whole narrative of the clue package. The other big things were the 2:59 on the clock. And then I don't know what 1313 Melville Court is, but that was like the address of the pizza place.
Yes. So 1313 Melville is, I've looked it up, it's New York. It's an area in New York. That exact mm-hmm. address is in New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was a clue package. Did the painting offer us anything before we dive in here? So the painting was, let's see.
It was like the wave thing with the lightning and the with rocket. The
jet. Yeah.
Yeah. And the jet thing. Mm-hmm. stuff.
So.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like we both know where we're going with this.
Yeah. Okay. Was it the fact that I listened to the performance, immediately stormed into the room and was like, oh my God, I know this voice. Like, I know who this is. Is that what gave it away? Is that it?
So what gave it away to me is that you were like, voice alone, I've got this.
Yeah.
For me, it was I had like some of the clues just sounded familiar. And then I was like, oh, I definitely looked this person up before, but for another show. And then I was like, could it be? And then turns out I think it could be, Leon. I think it could be.
I feel 100% confident in this person. I grew up listening to their music. And you and I both watched them on Celebrity Big Brother. And
exactly.
As soon as I even the clue package, the voice sounded like the person.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't click until as soon as I heard the music. As soon as I heard the performance, I was like, I know who this is. So I believe that this is Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray and Celebrity Big Brother. It is 100% him based on the music, I personally believe. Then what I did was then I used the clues to validate my guess, which really the clue, which even when Jenny was, they were going through the clue package and there was the clock, I would have written down 3:00. But then Jenny was like,
no, oh, it looked like 2:59.
Okay. I going through the clue package, I would have written down 3:00. But then Jenny is like, oh, it's 2:59. Which is their biggest album, 1459. Someday, Every Morning, apart from Fly, like their biggest hits are on that album. And so that's it. It has to be that. The song plus that clue, I was like, I'm done. It's done. It's done.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I think it was also I did not listen to Mark McGrath on live feeds for this to not pay off. Like, I did not grow up listening to Sugar Ray for this to not pay off.
I mean, you also factor in his height. This is a very tall performer, so that also adds up to me as well.
Oh, I didn't even pay to, yeah. And I don't know. It was just like, of course, all the other like sugar things, like the pie and then the, I'm not sure about all of them, but like their first album was Lemonade and Brownies. And so I don't know if that's like the whole lemon thing, like lemon pie, beet brownies, lemonade, you know, I don't know. Anyway. Super excited that Mark McGrath is on our TV again. I really liked him in Celebrity Big Brother, and I really like Sugar Ray, and I was very, very pumped about this.
Yeah, it's not every day you get to see someone on the show that you know, like, on site, and I feel like you had that moment, which is great.
And I so rarely have those moments, too. Like, you just have, you have more breath when it comes to music. I have depth. Like, you like how you were saying that I just listen to the same music artist over and over and over again. Yes, that is 100% true. But those 10 music artists, damn it, I know them very well.
Yeah, exactly.
It was my first moment I'd had that. Like, you've had that before where you've been like, oh, I know this voice.
Yeah,
oh, it's so cool. It was so cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, would you like Busta Rhymes and you know, like Lil Wayne, and like, you've had that so before. So for me to have that for the first time is a very liberating experience, and I'm very happy right now.
Well, keep it going. Talk about the performance.
Oh yeah, the performance was fine. I mean, that's the thing, is it like, has Mark McGrath's voice progressed as well? Like, it's fine. This is fine. I mean, it's Twisted Sister. Like, we're not going to take it. Again, a classic song known for super strong vocals. I don't know if that was necessarily the best choice for him, but you know what? It seemed like he was having a great time. Ton of energy. Super charismatic. Just like a crazy character of a human being. And that's what makes him so entertaining. And so I felt like that really translated to the performance as well.
Yeah, I thought that I thought Orca was okay. I did write in my notes that there's going to be a lot of leaning on Razzle Dazzle, which I'm not opposed to.
Yeah.
Because I thought that there was some crowd work style stuff with the, like, come on, everybody. And like, obviously there's no one there, but that still is good. showmanship. And I think that's still good for a show like this.
You I mean, the thing is, in terms of pure singing ability, I would, the Orca is now to me at the bottom of the list. Like Russian Dolls, Robopine, and Seashell, I think are better singers at this point in time. You know what I mean? So I do feel exactly to your point of this, this desire to do the razzle dazzle. Like it's got to be that added element, I think is super important.
Yeah, well, I also thought that this wasn't a good song for trying to see someone's singing ability because it's a lot of repeating the same thing. It's a lot of the we're not gonna take it. And like it's the same over and over. I think that another song could potentially do better. Obviously, his voice is seasoned. And at this point, I would argue that the other three are better. But like I said earlier, I think the Seashell's on the bubble. So like take it to the next round on the night. I mean, there's going to be another wild card, so they both might be safe, depending on who the wild card is. But I do think they're going to come to a point where on the night, depending on what song they use, if they pick one that's well suited to them, they can do better. But that also is arguing that I would believe that the Orca has vocal range to do better. I don't know that necessarily because I also don't really listen to the Orca's music. So
No. We'll see. And then if there's another wild card also coming in, then I don't know what that's going to look like also. So.
Yeah, so I've written down two of the guesses from the judges. One was Dave Grohl by Nicole Scherzinger, and one is Kevin Bacon by Jenny McCarthy.
I don't know where she got the Kevin Bacon guess.
Hey, it's a choice. It's a, some musician at heart.
Well, like, that's fine. Good for them.
Yeah, all right, let's go to the final guesses here. So the raccoon gets picked out and is leaving, and no one on the internet can say, wow, the raccoon was robbed because the Orca entered. No, the raccoon deservedly went home. That's fine. So as far as the final guesses go, I'll just quickly run through them here because this doesn't matter as much as the next thing I want to talk about. Ken Jeong went from Mike Tyson to Danny DeVito. Jenny McCarthy went from Dustin Hoffman to Gary Busey. Nicole went from Gary Busey to Sly Stallone. And Robin Thicke went from Danny DeVito to Tony Danza. And then Joel gave out another one-liner while delivering this and said,
okay, so I'm going to have to go with Robin here, the guy that looks like he runs a topless club with that shirt. And
what are your thoughts on Robin's outfit there?
But, like, that's been his aesthetic for at least
two seasons.
Like, the past season. Yeah.
Since
like
quarantine.
Four and now five. Yeah, I don't know what quarantine did to him, but he's got, like, very much has that going on.
Yeah.
Another reason why I love Joel and so happy that he's here.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who, you know, is Persian, I very confidently can say he does have that like Persian nightclub owner aesthetic going on with the very silky looking shirt with the buttons undone. But like also like it's like weird. It's like a resort Robin, like a vacation Robin. I don't know if he quite realized he's back at work now. I don't know. It's a choice.
He's just chilling. Look, I don't know. Maybe he's like, look, they're 6 feet away from me. They won't be able to tell. It's cool. This is me now. This is my vibe.
Well, nothing is going to get past what's his name? Joel. That's for sure. That is for absolute, absolute sure. All right. So then they, you know, they say their guesses and they tell the raccoon to take it off. And I was completely mortified for a whole minute and a half here. Because the raccoon starts taking off their belt.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever, I'm trying to remember if we've ever heard this before or seen this before. The like, take it off, I'm going to strip down gag. We had to have.
No, we haven't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like we would have.
No.
Yeah, I feel like we definitely would have. It was like, I don't know if it's the raccoon's costume. It was a little creepy because they had a producer person come up to him and say, hey, take your mask off, not your pants, which I know that it was part of a gag, but I was still like, bruh.
They should have edited that out, though, because if it was like legit, like concern, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it just didn't land as a joke, as a good one either, you know?
Yeah, it was uncomfortable at best.
Yeah. All right. So the mask comes off. It's Danny Trejo. Do you have any comments about Danny here before we wrap up?
I mean, again, I'm happy with the enthusiasm. mm-hmm. But the performances were a little rough. I would say I'm not gonna lie, like, it didn't really leave, it left a weird taste in my mouth. Like, the combination of the bad performance, the mm-hmm. taking the pants off, and then the whole thing with Jenny of, I love the work that you do for autistic kids. I'm sorry, you mean the vaccinations cause autism work that Jenny's done? Okay, which so is
I thought that's what he meant. True. Because I'm not well versed in this kind of stuff. So I assume that's what it meant. So I'm glad to know that I was on the right track with interpret. Because I also felt like, what are you saying here? Yeah.
Yeah, it was something about all... I love all the work that Jenny does. Like, it was, I'm raising two autistic kids and I love all the work that Jenny does. But those were the two sentences. And so I was like, I'm sorry. So the link is autism... work Jenny does. Jenny has done work for autism. No, Jenny has actively done counterproductive work for autism and autism research by continuing to perpetuate the myth, the very blatant myth that has been proven by several medical studies that vaccines cause autism. So, what? Like, who let that through? What editor let that through? Baffled.
Yeah. So yeah, so that is the way it, and it was kind of like, it already felt like the whole, from the minute the raccoon decided to unbuckle the belt, all the way to the last note that the raccoon sang, I felt awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly it was. And here's the thing. I don't want it to get lost in the middle of all this, that Danny definitely came out with this like big loving energy of so happy to do the show, very grateful for the opportunity, right. Had fun with it. So I loved all of that, but it was still awkward. And then they didn't even let him sing the song that he got eliminated to. They let him go back to the song he sang in the first week with Wild Thing. Mm-hmm. So he did mm-hmm. Wild Thing again on the way out. And yes, we did get credits to Shake It, Shake It, Shake It, Shake It, Shake It.
Yeah. I don't know. That was weird. I agree with you. And I'm happy that you pointed that out of like, I think that was not the intent. And so I can appreciate that was not the goal. However, that is how I felt.
Right. And I feel like I have a fully even processed what happened at the end there, because we watched it and then hopped on to talk. But mm-hmm. At this very moment, I do remember feeling, well, this was a little bit awkward.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, I think if you had to sum up the raccoon's performances in one word, you would say awkward.
Awkward. Yeah, I would say that. But look, we've moved on. We've gotten through it. We've gotten through it together. We have each other here for support. And now we'll be on back to group B.
Remember last week when you were like, what if I hate it with regards to the wild card? Do you stand by that statement? Did you end up hating it? I don't think so.
No, I didn't hate it because of who it was. But the point that you made about having someone new to then start like getting to know, it's sort of the weird mix of, remember in season three where they had like all the people and then it was, you'd wait like 6 weeks to finally meet like some of the contestants. I feel like this is a weird middle ground that's actually probably pretty successful between wanting to try to keep things fresh and introduce new people, but at the same time, not wait so long, or like, you know, oh, we have to wait, you know, 6 weeks to meet this person. We don't even know who that person is. Right. And then you're going to meet them the next week. So. Yeah.
I'm like here it. For this. Currently, I'm very here for this because I think there's a combination of the fact that we are getting to recognize the performers more, see more clues about them, which, again, I would argue, if we're going to see more clue packages, why did you give us such big giveaway clues what the clue will do? But that's whatever. That's fine. I think getting that, and then also getting to meet these singers, like, it's not a smackdown at the end. It's not like we're just going to shove them in the last 2 minutes. It's, we're getting them proper introduced. So I like that. And I like that we don't know what the four outfits are until they get introduced. Obviously, you see a claw, it's like either a crab or a lobster. So that was a bit of a giveaway. But ultimately, I didn't know there was going to be an orca on the season. And I'm very happy about that. So mm-hmm. Give me this. I think this works perfectly because it still gives you that bigger cast of 14 without making it feel like it's an overwhelmingly big cast of 14. It's good. It's a good way to go about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I'm still having a great time with the Masked Singer.
Masked Singer has been awesome. I mean, think about the first three unmaskings. They've all been fun.
Yeah. No. It's been fun. It's been fun performances. The episodes haven't felt like a lot of filler yet. Like, they haven't felt like they're really dragging yet. I mean, we'll see as the season continues, but I'm happy with the choices that they've made so far.
I mean, I feel comfortable now in saying that season four was kind of like a money grab of let's put a season together during the pandemic, and it felt that way. This season feels like it should have been the natural successor to season three. Like, I feel like I'm feeling the same energy. It's feeling great. I'm not in a position where, I don't know, season four just didn't hit for me at all the way this is hitting. And I don't know if it's just because of the Masked Dancer factor of now I feel more appreciative, or maybe I'm in a more fun. I have no idea, but I am enjoying season five, and that's all that matters.
Yes, exactly. Same.
Big samesies. All right. Well, that concludes episode three's recap. Next week, we'll be back talking about episode four, aka Group B, the sequel, but Group B with the new wild card. And I think Liana said the name of the episode was Claw of the Law. Law of Claws.
The Rule of Claw.
There we go. The Rule of Claw. Well, I don't have any good segue. Liana, where can people find you and what are you up to?
I'm going to be snapping my way over to the Drag Race podcast, talking with Beth and Amon, of course, about RuPaul's Drag Race. We finished up the UK season two, but we're still going on with US because, of course, and then whenever Down Under starts, we'll do something for it, like some type of supplemental coverage. So anyway, be on the lookout for that. You can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. You can follow me on Twitch, Liana, twitch.tv/LianaIsm. And that is everything for me.
Lovely, lovely. It's going to be a little long, but I'll try and make it brisk. Get it? Because lobster bisque. Nailed it. All right.
You're on a roll. Get it? Lobster roll.
Yeah. Butter. I've had lobster once. I don't know anything else.
Are you just gonna say words you associate?
What was it? It's not just butter. It's something else, right?
Garlic. It's like garlic butter. Like that you dip the lobster in. You mean? Oh man.
All right. Fine. I'll let me rewind. Let me start over. I'll do it. Butter. Nice. All right. So. Stop that. You can find me on all major social.
I'm red. I'm blushing. Red lobster. All right, end this now.
You can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv. It's Puyaism for all three of those. As far as podcasting goes at the moment, we were back with another 90 Day Fiance podcast with me, Rob, and special guest Reem Daly. That was very fun. I do recommend you check it out. We are about at the end of the season now, so maybe a couple more episodes and boom, the 90 Day season 8's over. So catch it while it's hot. And then as far as The Circle goes, that is going on all cylinders right now, and it has been fun. We talked about the first four episodes with myself, Taryn Armstrong, had special guest Rowan and Haley Strong with us, and that was a great time. I will be back talking Big Brother Canada, which has been also a great season, on Fridays with Taryn on the live feed update. So definitely check that out if you can. And finally, I was a guest on the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast talking about all things Raw, SmackDown, AEW, and NXT with Mari and Matt. So also give that a look if you're into wrestling. And obviously I stream on twitch.tv/Puyaism. All right. I didn't keep it bisque. I said I would, but I did not. So I'll have to just move on from here.
Move on. Like
if there's a cow. Yeah, that would be great. Cause I have a lot. I have a lot
of. What song does a lobster make?
Is that like the claw?
They're like.
All right. So that's all from us here today. I hope you have a good week. A great listen. And we will unmask you during the second wild card and during Group B's second performance. Bye.